Thank you, Miss Linda. What a blessing. Amen. I'm thankful for his love for me. Amen. And I hope you are too tonight. What a blessing it is to have us, have Pastor Stephen Carter back with us. And it is, I know it is probably a blessing to his mom and dad to have him here, but it is a blessing to us as a church. I'm thankful for not only the preaching that I got when I was in college, as a lot of the preaching came from Pastor Stephen during that time period, and what a blessing it was to me to have him in a couple classes as well at the college. But it is a blessing to have you come preach to us. You come preach to us, brother.
All right. Good evening, everyone. All right. I'm wired for sound. It's on, right? Okay. All right. So a big thank you to Pastor Parsons and Landmark Baptist Church for allowing myself and a couple family members to be able to be here with you this evening. Everybody wanted to come. My oldest daughter's in across the pond and on her honeymoon. So, and not a pond in West Virginia. They don't have very many of them, but a pond, across the Atlantic Ocean, I guess. She's in England, and so was not able to come. And then my one other daughter was not able to come as well. My wife's still teaching, so she has school first thing in the morning and has already been back to work, so it just didn't work out with the schedule for them. But I'm thankful that we are able to be here and share in this wonderful occasion. And thank you to everyone for honoring my parents. It's a blessing to get to take part in this this evening. And my gift to you is I'll try not to overdo it. This is unwise, but I'm going to tell you what I'm shooting for, okay? It makes it official if I tell you. I'm going to try to let you go do the fellowship thing and eat your fried chicken at 8 o'clock, okay? So that's the plan. And so pray fervently that might be a possibility, okay? Let's take our Bibles this evening and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 together. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture. I'll read a little bit starting in verse number 10, and I want to make application, of course, to the occasion and the ministry and my parents. And so 90 years of as far as a birthday, and then 68 years of anniversary, and then all the time serving here at Landmark. And so I want to try to make an application this evening, but I believe it'd be honoring to my parents if I tried to give you the Word of God at least for a few minutes to minister that to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "But thou," this is Paul writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, "but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." I'm going to skip over verse 11 for time's sake and go down to verse 13. Paul tells Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But this is the instructions given to Timothy here and to us as well, of course. Verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then those familiar verses, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So let's look at the continuing thou of verse number 14 and the fully known of verse number 10 tonight as we honor this special occasion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's look to Him at this time. Heavenly Father, we're blessed and thankful that we can look to You by opening up Your Word tonight. Thank You that we have Your very words, we have Your very instruction, we have Your very will revealed to us, and we have a purpose. We have something we can walk according to. Help us to have the faith to receive Your Word tonight and continue in it. I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, everything He accomplished for us with His finished work. Thank You for His faith, the faith that we can subject ourselves to and continue in. Thank You for this occasion this evening. Thank You for this church. Thank You that the gospel, the grace of God, has been preached here for many, many years, and that souls have been saved as a result of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen again the third day, being preached from this pulpit and all around this community. Thank You for that. We praise You for that. We rejoice together in that this evening, Lord. For the next few moments, may you give us clarity of thought and allow your word to have free course, that we'll be willing to receive it this evening and to continue. Thank you for the application that we can make in our daily walk. So we look to you in all things, and we thank you most of all for the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you now thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, it's good to see so many of you. I can't start naming names because then you know I'll leave somebody out. But thank you for allowing us to be a part of this tonight. And I did see Jim Robideau and Todd Morrissey back there in the middle, right there, right? Take it, stand up. I'm just kidding, you don't have to stand up. But that's why preachers always make people do, stand up, you know? When I was in elementary school, I used to have my Rubik's Cube. And I was an expert at it. I could get one side of color on it. I know, don't be jealous, all right? I could get one side. I don't remember how many sides I had, but I could get one of them, all the same color. And then I'd mess it up, you know, and I would bring it to Todd, and I'd bring it to Jim, and they would fix it for me. They were college students here at the time. And so then I'd go home, I'd mess it up again, and next church service, I'd bring it back to them, whichever lucky guy I ran into first. And then one time, I was like, I'm going to do this myself. So I peeled all the stickers off my Rubik's Cube, and I put them back on in color order, you know. I did it myself. I didn't need their help. And then I messed it up and brought it to them. And they started trying to fix it. And like, what did you do to this thing? Something's wrong with this Rubik's Cube. I said, well, I did it myself last time by taking the stickers off. And they said, you can find somebody else to fix this for you from now on. But thank you for being here. That's a blessing. Amen. I was sitting there looking at them this morning thinking about those memories from a long time ago. This was a good place to grow up. I'm thankful. I'm thankful not only for my parents and my home life, but I'm thankful that I had this local church, and it was a blessing to be able to have a childhood here and grow up, and so many of you were a part of that, so I just want to say thank you and be brief with my comments on that part of it. But here in the scripture, in 2 Timothy 3:10, to fully appreciate that verse that I'd like to apply to my parents this evening, and then, of course, the rest of the verses from verse 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 17, to fully understand it, you need to know the doctrine, the setting. The context is what you always need to look at. And so if you look at, real quick, let's just do a little backwards thing here. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Look at that real quick, a page back. So 2 Timothy 1 and 2. This is Paul writing to Timothy. This is a personal epistle. It's got a man's name on it, right? Timothy, that's a man's name. The other epistles that Paul wrote before this had church names on it or a community, like the churches of God in Corinth or Galatia or Ephesus or Philippi and so on and so forth, Thessalonica. But here it's got a man's name on it, just like the one that follows 2 Timothy. You have Titus, and then you have Philemon, that one chapter. And what you have is three men's names at the end of the writings of the Apostle Paul to the churches, from Romans to Philemon. And what it is personal epistles to apply the doctrine that came before them, to live it out, to walk it, to make it your purpose as God has now revealed His will. And there's more I could say about that. I used to call them the pastoral epistles. I said that for years. But really, you understand the application is way more than someone that's pastoring. Timothy and Titus might have been pastoring. Philemon probably wasn't. The church was meeting there at his property, but he wasn't the pastor of it. So you understand they're not pastoral epistles, just pastoral epistles. They're personal epistles to apply what God has revealed to us in the Holy Scripture. So 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, not biological, obviously, but this is a son in the faith, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same what? Things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou unto faithful men, or to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So you see that Timothy was to take what he had received, and it wasn't supposed to stop with Timothy. It was supposed to continue to the next person, was it not? He was supposed to minister the word of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, and he was supposed to continue to preach and teach that sound doctrine to others. Now look back real quick, if you don't mind, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 14. That's not very far to go. 1 Timothy 3:14. This is just your setting and context. Just cherry picking here for time's sake. 2 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that, why is he writing these things unto Timothy? That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And if the next verse, we won't take time for it this evening, but it talks about the mystery of godliness. No longer a mystery, but declared. Declared the Lord Jesus Christ, his faith, his work, all that he accomplished, the victory we have in him is declared in the Holy Scripture. And the Word of God declares the mind of God to us. So are you going to keep going after your own mind or the mind that the world would like you to have? Or are you going to go after the mind of God? We're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's through the Word of God. How does God's Spirit operate in us? Well, God takes His Spirit and He puts His Spirit on every one of these words. And those words go into us and they effectually work in the believer. If you are in Christ Jesus, His Word effectually works in you. And it changes you, renews you, empowers you, all those things. Something you can't do on your own. You can't do that according to your own mind or your own efforts or your own performance. But the Word of God will empower you. This is not powerless. This is the power of God unto salvation. But it goes on, it goes beyond your justification. It also empowers you to be sanctified and set apart to live according to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in a present evil world. Isn't that amazing that God can do that? His Word can overcome everything else around you if you'll receive it and walk according to it. What a blessing that is, isn't it? So verse 14, back to 2 Timothy 3. That's some setting and context for right now. 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, but continue thou. What is Timothy supposed to do if the world around him gets more evil and seducers wax worse and worse? What is he supposed to do? Well, like we always say, you just read what the next verse says, right? If you don't know what to do, move your thumb and keep reading. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, verse 10 says about Paul's doctrine. He says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Goes through a little list there. You know what the source of Paul's doctrine was, right? Well, it's the Holy Scriptures that's mentioned here in this passage. It's mentioned in verse 15. It's mentioned in verse 16. What it produces is mentioned in verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It all kind of goes together here. You realize Timothy was taught the Old Testament-inspired scriptures by his mother and his grandmother when he was a kid, right? Didn't it say that in the first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5? I told you I wasn't going to give you any more context, but you got a lady named Lois and the other lady. I'll call her Eunice. It might be Eunice, but Eunice just sounds better or whatever, and she's not going to get upset with me tonight anyway. So he was taught the Old Testament Holy Scriptures, that's inspired Scriptures. Timothy had the inspired Word of God in his home. Isn't that something? And it was the Old Testament. And his grandmother and his mother were women of faith. Now, it says that Paul has taught Timothy as well. You know what it is? It's the same source. It's inspired Scripture. This Scripture is the New Testament. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ had now revealed to his people. He had given this information. In the Old Testament, Job 32:8 says, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them, speaking of mankind, understanding. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you see, Timothy got a good foundation in his home. He had the faith of God declared to him, and then he met Paul. You can read about in the book of Acts, right? Where a young man named Timotheus or whatever it says in the book of Acts, he met Paul. And his life was never the same. God put his word in Timothy, and Timothy continued to minister that word, as far as we know, the rest of his human life. What a blessing that is. Timothy was taught by his mother. Timothy was taught by his grandmother. So that's his family members, biological. And then God gave him a spiritual family member, the Apostle Paul. Now, you know, it's the same way with us today when we receive the Scripture. We might have been taught it like I was, as a young person, by my family, by my father, by my mother, by others. But you know that we also have the Apostle Paul to teach us We don't just have the Apostle Paul, but we also have him to teach us just like Timothy did. Isn't that a blessing to understand these things? Paul taught him inspired scripture. Paul preached to him the revelation of the mystery. Paul preached to Timothy the doctrine which is according to godliness. These are all words you find in the Bible, by the way, and all phrases that you find in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says that if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, Paul wrote that to a church at Corinth who was having a hard time following what Paul had written to them about, to correct them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting verse? He says, if anybody thinks they're a prophet, if anybody thinks they're spiritual, how many people does the world feed us all the time that this person's spiritual? This, if you want to know what God's doing today, look at this person. If anybody thinks of themselves in this manner or speaks of themselves in this manner, do they acknowledge that the things that God gave Paul to write unto us, the church, that they're the commandments of the Lord? Isn't that something? I think that's something. I think that should be emphasized from time to time. So even though evil men and seducers, that's the deceivers, even though there's going to be more and more of them, they're going to wax worse and worse, Timothy is told, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many there are, you're to continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom taught you those things. Interesting, is it not? Now, the scripture that God has given us and placed his spirit upon is the very means he uses to fully instruct and mature us. Timothy was a young man in the faith, but he was to grow and be a full-grown man in the faith. You understand that? There's a maturation process, just like there's a physical, being a little one, growing up to be a grown-up one. There's the same thing with the spiritual, is it not? 1 Corinthians 13 and other places, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, it's not good to stay in the romper room of spirituality when you have the Word of God here to fully grow you up and instruct you. The world wants to keep you busted down to toddler in the nursery of spirituality. The Word of God wants to grow you up to a full-grown man. It wants to feed you. It wants to furnish you with the right doctrine you need to sink your teeth into and not just have a full milk diet all the time. The Bible says that he'll renew our minds, he recreates us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his word is the effectual work that the word accomplishes so that we can live according to God's purpose. Throughly, that's what it says in verse 17, throughly furnished unto all good works. If your Bible says thoroughly, well, I like the word throughly better. You know, if I had a dirty shirt, I could thoroughly wash it. And that would be okay. It'd be better than not getting washed at all. But if I had a shirt that got washed in, say, a washing machine or something like that with detergent, it would get thoroughly washed. It wouldn't just get rubbed on the outside, right? Spot cleaned or whatever, spit shined. It would get thoroughly washed and cleansed. It's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God certainly does a thorough job, but we want a through job. We want it to go through us so much so that when it's inside of us, it shows up on the outside of us. Throughly furnished to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. That only happens when you unlock the power of the Spirit that God places on every one of these words. So just like Pastor Parsons preached this morning, how much time are you spending in this book? I know it convicted me because I got these devices that I saw you had yours back tonight there in your chair. You have these devices you hold in your hand, and boy, they sure are a hog on our time. They sure do require a lot of attention. They sure do give us lots of notifications. You know, this is an attention-seeking device. You know, it's always notifying you that it needs you to look at it. And this book right here is so much more profitable to look at. And I know you can read the Bible on your phone, but let's don't pretend that's what you're doing all the time. So the Word of God is what we need. The Word of God is what God has designed. It's perfectly suited and fit to make us exactly what God desires us to be. So it's like Galatians 2:20. And my introduction's almost done. Fret not. Galatians 2:20 is a familiar verse, right? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Think about that. I am crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 6. But nevertheless I live. Well, Romans chapter 7, I still got this flesh I'm having to deal with. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Romans chapter 8. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Galatians 2:20 is talking about the faith of Christ, and that's declared in the Word of God. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever read that? Romans 1:16 is a familiar verse. You know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. But what about verse 17, where it talks about from faith to faith? From the faith of Christ. And what about my faith? Am I going to subject myself and believe what Jesus Christ accomplished? That's what's declared in this book right here. From faith, the faith of Christ. He was obedient even unto the cross. You ever read that in Philippians? From faith of Christ to our individual or personal faith. Something to think about tonight. So the faith of Christ is the work accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's declared in the Scripture. It's called the testimony of God, 1 Corinthians 2:1. And so I'm going to take that work of faith that we are to understand, receive, and walk according to, and learn more about that work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished, that body of work, supernatural God's intervention in our eternity, all those things I could say. And I want to make the application to my parents this evening with the time that we have left. The ministry that the Lord blessed and gave to my parents, the work that they lived, even the teamwork that they displayed, I'll say it that way. This ministry, it's a long time. I mean, I know it was a few years ago that my dad became pastor emeritus and all that, but there sure was a lot of involvement for a long period of time. And so I want to mention that tonight as we celebrate this occasion. So back to verse 10. Like I told you, we're going to get to this message. Introduction over. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now, if I was going to talk about Paul, I'd go back to 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I would talk about that for a summary of what Paul's manner of life, doctrine, all those things, but I'm going to talk about the application of my parents tonight. My parents' doctrine, their manner of life, I'd say this is a fully known thing. There's quite the body of work, humanly speaking, and then ministry-wise as well. Now, Pastor Parsons said this morning that the hour that you were assembled there in 11 a.m. preaching, 11 p.m. is tonight, we'll do that tonight, no, I'm just kidding, 11 a.m. preaching, that you had that hour where you're in the Word of God with others that are in the Word of God with you, right? You're in one accord, and you're yielding to the Word of God for that time period, but then what about all the rest of your hours? And that was a great point, and it spoke to my heart. Well, I know a little bit about my parents the rest of their hours, so I'm going to talk about that tonight for a few moments. Let's start with verse number 10 where it says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. So when it comes to doctrine, I'm thankful to say that a way to sum up the doctrine of the ministry of my dad and my mom is the King James Bible. I'm thankful to say that tonight. I'm thrilled to be able to say that. Not everybody's super comfortable with that, but what a blessing it is to believe that God has given us His Word the way He wanted us to have it. You know how much time you waste trying to figure out supposedly what God's Word is? Or if you have a certain idea and you come to the Scripture and it doesn't agree with you, then you go to other languages to try to manipulate, twist and turn to say, well, this is what this really means if you know the Greek, or if you know the Aramaic, or if you know the Hebrew, or whatever else, fill in the blank. And what that is just a way of squirming and wiggling out of what God has actually said to you. It's a lack of faith. Taking God at His word is the proper response when you receive His word. So I'm thankful that we can talk about doctrine tonight, the doctrine that's contained in this King James Bible, by saying my dad always emphasized being a Bible believer in such a way that it made some people uncomfortable. I understand that. And it takes all kinds to make the world not go round. You know what I'm saying? So that's a flat earther joke, by the way. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But he emphasized the Word of God, emphasized it. And I don't remember ever hearing him say, well, it says it here in the passage, but what it really should say is, and a better rendering would be, I never remember him saying that. I'm 50-something years old, 51. Almost more than that. And I never remember in all those years ever hearing him correct the Bible. And I appreciate that. That was not as common as I would have grown up thinking it was. I just thought everybody believed the Bible. But that's not my experience now. What a blessing. I appreciate that. Fully known, according to verse number 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine. I'd like to say I'm thankful that my dad and my mom were Bible believers. And it made a difference in their manner of life, the way they lived their life. And by the way, if you'll believe God's word, it'll make a difference in the way you live your life. Paul often talked about his manner, his custom was. Everywhere he went, most of the time he got thrown in prison because he went preaching Christ and it wasn't received very well. And he talked about his manner and he referred to it many times. He wasn't there to fleece people. He wasn't there to deceive people. He wasn't there to get them involved in a Ponzi scheme or whatever else, or you know, tell them about the positives of network marketing or whatever else. That's not what he was trying to do. Everywhere he went, he preached Christ. And the manner of life of my parents was hard work, I believe. You know, you can have problems in life and that's not fun. But a lot of times if you have a problem and you throw hard work at it, it'll help the problem. It'll sometimes present a solution. And when I talk about my parents, they're both very hardworking people that were involved in a lot of things. Some of it was out front with my dad, and a lot of it was not stuff that you saw all the time. A lot of it with my mom is not the things that you saw all the time. But they were hardworking people, and their manner of life was affected greatly by the doctrine that they held to. And that doctrine was found in the Word of God. And what a difference, what a difference. And their purpose, that's what it says in verse number 10. You have doctrine, comma, manner of life, comma, you have purpose. God had a purpose when He created man in the first place. And I'm going ahead and say this, I didn't mean to, it's not my notes, but God didn't create Adam because God was lonely. I don't like that, so that's why I'm going to mention it again. I want to push back. I've heard that stuff too many times, because once is too many. If you say God was lacking in any way or wanting in any way, He ceases to be God. Do you understand that? So God didn't create man because God was lonely. God created man because God had a purpose. And now when man today lives according to the world's purpose and the little g God of this world's purpose and the wisdom of this world and the principalities and the princes of this world, when man lives according to that today, he's living against God's purpose. Where do you find God's purpose? Well, right back to the doctrine. It's in the Word of God. If you want to know why God created man, well, the Bible declares that. The Bible explains and expounds and expands upon why God created man. You understand that one day there's going to be a joint throne, God and man, and it's going to be culminate and come together, even with our planet. You understand that? According to the Word of God, that's going to happen one day. God's going to reconcile all things in heaven. God's going to reconcile all things in the earth. He's going to reconcile both in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look it up in Ephesians 1:10. There's other places as well. So the point here is God has a purpose, and my parents lived according to purpose. What a blessing that is. And the purpose wasn't self-adulation or attention-seeking for themselves. The purpose was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was always, always, always ministry first. Growing up, I had my not fun times at the ministry. I had my fun times at the ministry. I had my work times at the ministry. I had my play times at the ministry. It's kind of hard to tell the difference, really, because you know what? It was all focused around the ministry here. That's a blessing, though, and the purpose that my parents had was very front and center. Same for faith. Fully known, and it talks about faith right there. Well, we already declared the faith of Christ, or we looked at it according to the Word of God, part of it. And I think about the way my dad believed God. And here's something not everybody has, and I'm not asking you to try to follow that example, because I'm going to tell you, you probably can't do it. But my dad had such a reality-bending faith that it also affected his will, his willpower. I mean, it all kind of went together. He believed so much that I just saw reality sometimes bend to that. I can't explain it. Doesn't exactly work that way for me necessarily. But I watched my dad's faith. It was just a real, I'm all in. I'm just moving on, going forward no matter what. I watched him believe God in his ministry. And so I want to bring that out briefly this evening. Also, long-suffering. And some of you that were on staff in the old years, you might not think this was a character trait that some people had. But maybe others did, you know. But there is some suffering long that you do when you're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Because you can't do everything by yourself. And my parents came to town, and the story is, right, 37 people or something like that, right? Y'all know this. You've only heard it 11 times, right? So everybody knows all this stuff. It's in the appendix of your Bible. I'm just kidding. It's not in there. And so they came to town. There's just a handful. There's just a few people. And it didn't stay that way. If you're not long-suffering, if you're not striving together for the faith of the gospel, like it says in Philippians 1:27, you have to do that with others. You can't just sit there and minister to yourselves. Other people are involved. Other people have to follow the example. And to be a good leader, sometimes you have to give opportunities and chances, and you have to suffer long and be forbearing. And I saw that in my parents. I'm not just talking about with me. I'm talking about with some of you as well. So striving together for the faith of the gospel, what a blessing that is. God suffers long with us, that's for sure. God's long-suffering is a attribute of God that is on display in this dispensation of grace that we currently reside in. And when we follow that example and we're long-suffering with others, that's extending grace to others, because God has extended grace to us. And I believe that's a very, very Christ-like scriptural thing to do. And also charity. Charity has a different name these days in our modern lingo and language and all that. And we think of charity as, you know, giving something for tax deduction purposes. But in the Bible, it has to do with love. You take in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Okay. So it's what it says in the book of Romans. So there's a charity. There's a love for other people. There's a love for the local church. There's a love for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is. Every epistle of Paul, Romans through Philemon, every one of them, you'll see a salutation. And it always has something to do with thanks be to God. Thanks be for the grace and mercy and peace of God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not at war with planet Earth right now. He will be. It won't be long. He will pour His wrath out. It won't be long. It'll be at the end of the 70th week of years that the prophet Daniel tells us about. But we're not in that right now. And by the way, we're not appointed to be in that, by the way, according to the Word of God. But right now, He's not declaring war on planet Earth. But what is He declaring? Grace, mercy, peace, long-suffering, and the love of God is what God declares. And you can read those words right here. The wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you understand, before a king will declare war on another country, he always calls his ambassadors out of it first. Doesn't make any sense for the king to fully do an onslaught of war and have a campaign or an operation of war against an enemy nation when his ambassadors are still present within that nation. No, we're his ambassadors. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We beseech others in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And God hasn't caught us out of here yet. When he catches us out of this land, the land better perk up, because war's coming. And he will pour his wrath out. And knowing the terror of the Lord, that's the wrath that's going to be poured out, we persuade men right now. We give them the Word of God. We preach Christ. And that's what my parents have been doing for a long time. That's the charity. That's the love for others. That's the love for the local church. What a blessing that is. And then there's patience at the end of verse number 10. Patience is a little different than what some of us think of sometimes in the Bible. That's continuing in faith. That's believing in hope. That's your work. That God has given you His word. You've believed it. You've received it. Now you believe what God says is going to happen. You believe that with all your heart, even though it hasn't happened yet. And yet between the moment you received the word of God and believed Him till the time that it's actually fulfilled and happened, that time period is called patience. It's your patience. God, you've taken God at His word, yet some of those things have not happened yet. The rapture of the church, which is His body, has not happened yet, but I believe it just like it happened 10,000 years ago, because that's how sure it is it's going to happen. I believe He's going to pour His wrath out at the end. He's going to come in glory with the clouds of glory. He's going to come and He's going to return all the way. I'm talking about the second coming. I'm talking about the end of the 70th week now, the tribulation period, the 7 years. He's going to come all the way down and touch down on planet Earth. You understand that? He's literally going to establish His kingdom. And of that kingdom, it'll be 1,000 years where Jesus Christ establishes the dominion of God the Creator on planet Earth. And then, 1 Corinthians 15, then cometh the end. And He gives the kingdom over to the Father. Just like Adam was created to do and failed, but the second Adam is going to be victorious. What a blessing that is. So patience. Believing God and working right now till Jesus comes. Continuing. Continuing. Walking according to the Word of God. Right, I'm going to try to stop. I'm going to cut it off abrupt-like. I'm just going to tell you a story, and that's it. Because I'm over my time spot that I was. Y'all didn't pray enough. Okay. I recently did a funeral for a gentleman up in West Virginia that I've known since I moved up there. And his last name was Yeager. And he was an interesting character. You find a lot of those in the hills and hollers up there. And he was a great guy, super sweet and kind. Took care of two wives until the end of their life. And finally, at a pretty ripe old age, he finally passed away. And I was doing his memorial service, and I was talking about my experiences with him and what I knew he did and how he lived. He lived for his family, took care of others around him. And I found this story about some people of the same last name. Their names were Gordon and Norma Yeager, both in their 90s. And had been married for 72 years. Now, these are two people my dad could call old and it would be okay, I guess. They were up there a little bit. This couple left their home in Marshalltown, Iowa, and they ran some errands in town, but they didn't make it to their last destination. A car accident sent the couple to the emergency room, broken bones, other terrible injuries. And they were transferred to intensive care, and the nurses were real wise as they took care of them. They knew they couldn't separate these two. They had to keep them together. Both of them were seriously injured, but both Ms. Yeager and Mr. Yeager, they were only concerned about each other. And their son, his name was Dennis, he gave the testimony. He says, "My mom was hurting, but she kept asking about my dad. And my dad's back was really, really caused him severe pain, but he just kept asking about my mom. And so when it became clear their condition was not improving, the nurses moved them into a different room together where their beds could be side by side and they could touch, they could hold hands." So the story goes like this, that Gordon Yeager, 94 years old, passed away at 3:38 p.m., holding hands with his wife. His family was standing around both the beds, and their son Dennis said it was really strange because his father stopped breathing, but the heart monitors just kept going. And they couldn't figure out why. He still had a heartbeat, yet he was not breathing. And then the nurse explained as she came in that she said to him, "Your mom and dad are still holding hands, and your mom's heartbeat is actually going through your dad, and his monitor's picking it up." So at 4:38, exactly 1 hour later, Norma Yeager passed away. And this story is a sad one, a sweet one, yes, but it's really just the bottom line that marriage is one heartbeat beating through each other. And it's so beautiful when God takes His love and binds people together. And when it comes to ministry, Yes, marriage, but also when it comes to ministry, you know what it is? It's one heartbeat. It's one heartbeat right here. That's what it is. For me to minister properly, I need to have this one heartbeat. It's the heartbeat of my Savior. As you minister properly, you need to have this heartbeat right here. These very words that God has given us, in us, functioning, living through this life that we now live in the flesh. See, God, because of His Son, can take His love and He can put His words in us and He can bind us all together, our hearts knit together in love, like it says in the book of Colossians. I think my parents are a great example to me and to you of that great fact. What a blessing it is. Marriage, yeah, it's one heartbeat, but when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, there's a ministry marriage as well, and it's one heartbeat, and it's the heartbeat of our Savior. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, as we turn things over to Pastor Parsons, that we can look to your word tonight and that we can honor all the years of service that you've blessed us with through my parents in this place. Lord, may you continue to preach the gospel, the grace of God. May people continue to be saved. May people continually go to your word and receive that heartbeat that you have for them. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Feet tonight, it was a good message for us. Ministry, families, life. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Tonight, would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? If God spoke to your heart, let's do business with Him tonight. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.